Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Oh, look who's decided to turn up. Look, Sachin, please all bow down in the presence of his royal Gujaratiness. Oh, he has come down from his underbody throne and he has graced us with his presence. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to reintroduce to you. This is like when Dirty Den came back to EastEnders after 15 years.
No, don't do that. Don't make me out Dirty Den. I was about to give you the highest blessings like a Bhagwan would, like from Mahabharata.
Well, what would you say? No, I'm saying like a key character comes back. The Dirty Den's pretty much up there.
Well, oh, I see what you mean. Well, just call me Bobby from Dallas. Come on, that's the best.
He's still alive. He's still alive.
Yeah, still alive. Just a dream.
Dirty Ken from the Brownlow.
Dirty Ken.
You get called.
How are you guys? I missed you.
Do you know what? No. Do you know what? I refuse to talk. I'm not going to say anything until I get an apology. Times two.
For what?
What do you mean for what?
Times two.
Awkward all of a sudden. I'll just stay here. You know, like when you've got two uncles that are about to kick off at a party and the kids are there.
No. It's nothing to do with uncles. I mean, if we were in person today, I probably would have decked him twice.
Okay, Satch, let me be the mediator here, then. That's my role.
Hello.
What's the issues that you've got with your colleague, Kedge? This is HR. We're in HR.
Hang on. Can I swear in the meeting?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a safe place, Satch. I want you to feel free. This is a South London HR department. Don't worry.
No, I can't swear, no. I'm just saying, this prick just turned up. Like, you know, like everything's just hunky-dory. Came in here. You know, decided to make an appearance on the podcast, but he's not addressed what he's done for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah. We're Kedge.
And not just for me, for the listeners too. Just saying.
He's doing that one. It's the people you let on. It's the license fee payers. What are you gonna say? Well,
if I remember correctly, I've missed two, haven't I?
Yeah.
Now
that is by the way. It's the first time in six and a bit years.
Hang on. Don't defend him. Let me hear what he's going to say.
No. I'm saying it's the first time six and the third years that anyone has missed two in a row.
Yeah.
But missed versus time taken off. So it's not just gone. Yeah, go on. Let's hear what you're going
to
say.
No,
hang on, wait. I need an explanation for both episodes first before we go anywhere.
So 2 weeks ago, the plan was that I said, guys, let's try and do Monday because obviously I'm going to be flying out. It's all starting to get busy on the Thursday. So, you know, let's get out on Monday. Everyone was hunky-dory with the Monday sitch. And then all of a sudden, on the Monday, Tommy's busy. He can't do this. He can't do that.
Oh, hang on. He's blamed you, Tommy.
Yeah. Well, no, that's how it was. So then we're trying to do, and then I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to make it on here. I was out. And then, you know, trying to record a podcast the night before you're flying out is obviously not advisable because
why not?
Bedlam in the house. And it's just like everyone's last minute packing and everything like that. So, you know, there was a time and a day that was specified.
I couldn't make it. It
wasn't possible. So I couldn't make it, but you know, let's.
No, I'm not using that as an excuse.
I was available on the day that was specified 2 weeks ago. So that was that. The week after, I was.
Hang on a minute.
I did tell you both of you that I'm not going to probably make it. And you were like, no, take your mic. Just anything, kid, anything. I said, okay, well, because I knew my schedule and I was on a fast, crazy one. 3 days in Gujarat, 3 days in Mumbai, 3 days wedding thing. It was just non-stop.
No.
And that Tuesday, what? I said I'll try, but it was our only night really that we could go out in Mumbai. We went to Shilpa Shetty's restaurant, which is you guys love. Incredible. 43rd floor.
What's it called? Is it called Sweaty Shetty's?
Sweaty Shetty's. If it was Sweaty Shetty's. Can you believe that? That would have been brilliant.
Yeah.
It's called Bastion. It's called Bastion. Yeah. And like, what I don't understand is we were sitting there going, I wonder what you know, Bastion. Well, there you go. You just hit the nail on the head. Sebastian. So I was like, because I thought Bastion is
Hang on. Forget Bastions. Back to the apology.
Right. So we were out there and then it was a brilliant place. DJ started kicking in at 10:30. You know, I didn't know where I was by the time that you guys were 8 o'clock, whatever it was that you said. By that time, I was out dancing, drinking. There was no way. So, hang on a minute.
There was no way. What? That's not an excuse. What do you mean? There was no way.
It's 1:30 in India.
Yeah.
You know.
So, hang on. I'm just saying, it's midnight. It's 12:30.
Yeah, no, that's great. But you're not
Dubai.
Doing anything.
He's in Dubai, everyone.
Right. No. Hang on. What do you mean? I was just out with mates for dinner. I came home early to make sure I was here for 12:00.
You don't party like that. Do you know what I mean? You don't drink.
No. Yeah, I knew that we were
dinner. Tommy knows.
No, I knew that we were recording a podcast, Kedge. I was here because I knew that we agreed the time, you'd be there.
Yeah, but is that, in fairness, he's right. You don't know what it's like to have a WKD, like two of them maybe. And
I ain't taking that for an excuse.
Lemon sherbet.
But in my defense, I did say, I'm not
going to
make
it. No.
There's no defense.
There is no defense. You're a prick.
No, what I will say is that it was left with, I'll keep you boys posted from
Kedge. Yeah, exactly.
Right, and we were like, yeah, we'll all be online then. He goes, cool, I'll keep you posted. Then there was no posting.
He didn't even respond.
And there was a disappearing guy. I'm not angry, Kedge. As I would say to Milo, I was just worried. I was worried. I was like, is he all right? Satch was angry. Satch goes, nah, he's a prick. And I went, I was concerned. And then I think the next day...
You weren't
day,
concerned. You called him a prick on the podcast as well.
I did. You can listen back to it. I'm only kidding. Right. And then the next day, the text comes through from Kedge and it goes, sorry, lads, turned into a mad one. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No excuse. No, that's not an excuse for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'll be honest. If that was, if this was a
turned into a mad one. Are you 15?
Yeah. Well, when I'm out there and I'm on holiday, mate, it was going to absolutely be a mad one.
So Satch is saying not good enough. He expects more from this relationship. He wants more communication. I think it's communication, Kedge. Ultimately, you're a bloke and you don't communicate.
Right. Well, I'll work on it. And if you could put me on a course, please, then I'll greatly appreciate it. Because that's what happens, isn't it? When you go slightly off the scales in at the BBC, you get put on a course.
Yeah, there's a course for everything.
Well, it depends on how valuable you are. If you're not valuable, you'll be kicked out. If you're valuable, then we'll give you a course.
To be fair, I mean, I've had loads of messages where everyone was just like, oh, yeah, it's good as a duo. Podcast's brilliant. Legit, I'll show you them.
Love it. I'm happy to go part-time once a month appearance.
No,
we'll just cut you totally. It's fine. It's not even, I don't want you here for one a week, a month
or whatever. So, Bastion, what do they serve? I want to know the food. I want to know what Shilpa's menu is.
Well, I took a picture of the menu, but you would love it. You would absolutely love it, Tommy. It's fusion. Everything. Fusion kind of. So,
because she's quite into like a healthy well-being stuff, and she's probably vegetarian, I would imagine, isn't she?
I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of meat on the menu, so I'm guessing that it was yum. I'll be honest with you, there was a lot of different types of cuisines. It was, you know, it's more the interior decor, and it's got a swimming pool in it as well. So it's like the DJs start coming on, it starts going crazy. It was like, we had a bit of tofu, we had a bit of like this Korean fried paneer. I did take photos of the menu for you guys, but I can't seem to find it in my phone anymore. But all sorts of food in there, noodles, all of that kind of stuff.
Right.
But the name, I was like, I wonder where the name came from. Do you know what I mean? Because it wasn't your Bollywood vibe or anything. Here we go. Here's the menu. Shall I read out a few dishes from the classic section?
No one cares.
Lamb ghee roast, your shroom bol chow toast, animal lamb slider. I don't know what that means. Edamame.
Someone who DMs sheep.
Crispy tofu, Szechuan string beans, lobster pappardelle, lamb pappardelle.
I do like a pappardelle. I've not had a pappardelle in a while.
Oh, there we go. Mongolian lamb. I think you guys will like that. Stir-fried chicken.
Yeah.
Pulled chicken tacos. You know, it's all that kind of stuff.
Is that what you did in the nightclub dance floor? Did you pull a chicken taco? You pulled my chicken taco.
Almost fell in the pool. In the sort of intoxicated state of
Peter Sellers style. What, remember that film? Was it Peter Sellers? I think it was like where he plays Indian. Yeah, it's not. Is it Pink Panther?
Pink Panther.
Birdie Num Num. That one. Birdie Num Num. Remember that Birdie Num Num scene? It's quite iconic.
I don't remember exactly.
But apparently, in Bugger Gungaroo Band with Amitabh Bachchan, he sort of copies that style. He's copying Peter Sellers. But anyway, it's very feminine, but he falls into the water. That's a thing at a party.
Now that you're saying that, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, so you did some top-end dining. Tell me more about India. How is India?
All of India? Oh, you know what? It's funny because it's, you know, I mean, you know me, I love a debate and I love stirring it with people. And so for me, it's like, you know, last time I went to India was with you.
Oh, God, 2019.
19. Yeah. So, you know, I've not been there since COVID and all of that. And there's been a lot of changes and everything like that. And, you know, what you hear from the really proud Indians, oh, India, my India, the best of this. It's all brilliant. It's all amazing. And what you realize, and I was feeling a little bit satch about it because I was just, every little thing just starts getting on your nerves.
Go on. With the people or the place?
Yeah, everything, like, you know, and there's moments where you just sit there and just go, like, you know, you open the tap and it looks like the Barney's just dripping a little bit. And you're like, you know, like you realize you take so many things for granted in this country and we don't realize how lucky we are.
Yeah. And I thought that recently, weirdly. Sorry, I think I've got this tickly cough back again. 100-day cough. It's come back. 120-day cough. I realized that recently.
You've had it for about 100 months, mate.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. You know what? I need to get some sleep. I need to stop working. I work way too much. I'm not trying to get heavy about this. You know when all the migrants are coming over here? I'm like, why are you coming here? Why are you risking your life to come here? Like, whatever you think, I think you need to know, you know, it ain't that great. But then you realize things work here. There's a system here.
Oh,
you
turn absolutely. The tap on body,
you know, no one's going to, you know, there's not corruption. Well,
just to get a SIM card, you know, you have to take first, like, I just bought a SIM card. I said, right, let's just eSIM this. You know, you can get an eSIM now, so you don't have to stick the other SIM in. It just works eSIM. And it's like, oh, but now you have to get somebody who's got an Aadhaar card. Now, where the hell am I supposed to find somebody who's got an Aadhaar card? And then my cousin who'd already, he already registered it for somebody else. And it's just like, I just want a SIM in my phone. Like, let's make this easy.
Please tell me.
I'm giving you money.
Please tell me that the guy who does the SIM cards in India is called Dal SIM. Is he pleased?
Oh, if only.
There should be a place for that. And just.
It was a girl who was helping me. And bless her. And it was like, you know, it just gets to the point.
Was it Galsim?
Galsim. Oh, it could be Galsim. No, but it's just little things like that. And you just think, oh, you know, like it's there's so much that we just take for granted. And you just like, it's just frustrating how difficult little things are like that. Do you know what I mean? I went, you know what? I'll tell you what I did though. I went running in Gujarat when I was there in Rajkot. I went running because I had to keep my marriage. Huh?
Who was chasing you? Was it the crocodiles of Gujarat? Was it the crocodiles?
The lions.
What did you say?
Satch, you're saying
crocodiles. There's crocodiles and lions in Gujarat.
Is there lions? I didn't know there's lions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We went past this famous area where it's known for lions.
Lions. It's where you were as well, in Rajkot, that sort of area.
Yeah.
There's a forest.
I went running in Rajkot, and I thought, well, I knew that there was this place known as the race course, right, which is basically like a big maidan where they have like a fair and all of this kind of thing. But I know that people wake up and do yoga there and they go for walks around this park and everything like that. So I thought, oh, well, I'll just head out there and run. So I went, you know, all kitted out of my Nike gear. And it was early in the morning, about 7 o'clock. And I thought, oh, it's beautiful. Because it's like, 23 degrees. Do you know what I mean? So you're just in your straight shorts, T-shirts. And you're like, oh, I like this. Early morning run, but in the warmth. Yeah. And it was funny just to see people like running, but like they had like big jackets London. It's like they found it cold, and there's me running around like in a t-shirt. And it was it's just funny. But you know, they're all I've got to give it to them. They were running, they were walking, whatever they could do, they were doing it. They were doing yoga. It's and then what they do is they take out one of the inside lane of you know, the road that goes around it, and they block it off up until 8 o'clock for people just to do the running and walking. Brilliant. And all of that yoga and stuff. And I thought that's something we could learn. Do you know what I mean? We should encourage that, although maybe we're not gonna do it in these temperatures at the moment. Weather, in the UK. Yeah. But
I'd like to see how that goes down in Hyde Park, sort of Hyde Park corner. Shut a lane down for people to run in it. Behave yourself.
Yeah. Imagine the traffic. Imagine the backlog.
Exactly.
Imagine
people picking
up. People have trouble with cycle lanes, let alone.
Then you got those orange people flipping protesting every 5 minutes as well. They sit on the floor and shit.
Yes. The
Just Stop Oil. Just Stop Oil.
Yeah. But again, running in India, God, that's hard work, you know, because every time you breathe in, you are breathing in so much pollution. I could feel my lungs getting tight. It was like having real time COVID.
Yeah, you might as well just get your mouth around a pipe. You know, again, like grammar school, but like the exhaust pipe. But yeah, you're right. But what was it? That's Mumbai Air. Did you say you ran in Gujarat though?
No, I ran in Gujarat. India's air is just so dirty. People don't realize it. Like, you know, there's two Gujarat, people who struggled with the air. There's two people who struggled with the air in India. The guy Brian Johnson, who's obviously living till he, you know, as long as possible. He was there in India while I was there. He was on a podcast in India and he had to step out because he said that India. Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson is the guy whose motto is don't die. He's spending millions of pounds on how he can live forever. He's reversed the process of aging, his lungs and everything, blah, 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 blah. Look him up. It's fascinating. He's got a documentary on Netflix as well. But he went to India to appear on a podcast and he had to stop the podcast and leave because the air quality was not good enough for him. He said it's like smoking three cigarettes.
Oh, I think I remember hearing that.
Yeah,
I think I remember and
obviously I'm of the same ilk, you know, in terms of health and you know, the pureness of my lungs. And I had to basically pull out and go, I can't run. I can't do this running in India now because it was bad for me. Honestly, I was dying. It was all getting tight.
When you sweat, did you notice any difference in the smell of your sweat? Were you like doing methi sweats over there or anything like that?
No, I told you, I don't sweat like that. So even when I did that running, I wasn't sweating like that. I just don't sweat.
You might have that Korean gene that we know where they don't sweat. They don't.
No, I sweat, but it just doesn't reek. I just don't reek.
Was it ghee coming out your head?
Ghee. I tell you what, you've got to be careful of the food because as much as it looks really nice all the time.
Did you get anybody?
No, I didn't. The most I had to deal with was a 2 day stretch of not going to the loo.
Oh. The opposite of Delhi Belly, then.
Yeah, I got the jamigu basically.
The blockage belly.
I got the blockage belly, and I thought, oh, I wonder what's going on here. Why has this happened?
Maybe you're nervous.
No. He was after actually going to Virat Kohli's restaurant that started it.
Are you playing defense? You were playing like defense strokes. You weren't going for it.
Block shot.
Yeah, blockshot. You weren't trying to open things up.
I thought it was a test match, mate. Five days.
It lasted for 2 days. Yeah. And then I was finally out.
Then you went into the power play and then it all came out.
It was quite the power play.
Sorry, I don't want to go any more about your toilet habits. But good trip, good family trip.
Yeah, good family
trip.
There were so many cousins who'd all come around from like Canada and New Zealand. And, you know, so it was after a long time that all of us had got together. So that was fun. And, you know, we all love an Indian wedding. But in India, it's better, isn't it, than the UK ones? It just is better. They do more events. It's just a bit more cultural. They know all the Bollywood songs. Everything's themed. They're a little bit extra with all the dance. You know what? There was one, the Sangeet night, right? They had 10 dances from the bride's side and 10 dances from the groom's side. So literally... I mean, we weren't involved in it yet, but it was like we were just sitting there to watch in a Bollywood show. Do you know what I mean? So we ended up going out and having a little sesh because obviously no drinking was allowed because the boys' side were very strict. So, you know, we had one room that was used as the sessioning drink room.
This is a genuine question. You know, they say Gujarat's a dry state. So is it illegal there? Is it like no bars?
It's not illegal.
Okay, I don't know.
You need a license. What I found out is you need a license to drink. Yeah. And but it's, not it's, a license.
It's very easy to get a license. And everyone gets a permit there because your doctor says you need a drink. It's prescribed to you.
Oh, there so Satch knows the rules. But we were in this place called Silvassa, which is on the it looks like it's in Gujarat, but it's not, and it's got no territory or anything like that. So it's on its own thing. Do you know what I mean? It's not part of a state, it's not part of Maharashtra, it's not part of Gujarat. So it's kind of like no rules. Like,
you can do what you want.
So what's it called?
Silvassa.
Oh, I've seen the film before that. I saw Mufasa, but then this could be a little sequel. We're like the lions of Silvassa in this no man's land territory.
There we go.
There's a story there. Disney, hello, Gujarati version of Lion King.
God, why has that not been done? But yeah, no. So that was fun. And what else? Any other highlights? I've got to say, I don't think there was any other really. I mean, one of the most interesting things that happened is that I sat next to this incredible scientist on the plane on the way back, and we were gassing for a long time. He was a very clever man.
Yeah. That's so weird.
He was talking about tracer molecules and stuff like that, how they put it into your body and it can trace what cancer it is. So it was nuclear medicine he was talking about. I was like, wow, this is incredible. I was just like fascinated.
Can I add that? Because on that note, yeah. It makes you realize people like that. And I know Satch, if Satch met a scientist like that,
yeah.
Satch, you go, I'm a scientist, Satch. Go, yeah. All right, and get away from this conversation as soon as we can before.
Yeah, exactly. You put your test tube away, mate. Yeah.
We were in Finland. We were in Finland last week, right? And we went on the a snowmobile. No, we went on a ski sort of ski hike. So you basically you wear skis. But you're on a flat surface and you go for like a few miles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like an Olympic sport, isn't it? They do it like an Olympic sport. Flat.
You can ski a bit, but you're really just walking on skis, right? Yeah. Which does take a bit of hard work. And my God, if you fall over, it's really hard to get up because you've got to put both your legs to one side, use your sticks, all upper body, and just drive the sticks down into the floor and pull yourself up. Like, honestly, it makes you feel like you're drunk. It makes you feel like you just can't. Because you can't just use your feet like you would use your feet, because your skis cross over and that pins you down and then you fall over again.
Of course.
Right? And at one point, I ain't gonna lie, we went on this excursion. Remind me, this links back to a scientist. We went on the excursion, and my missus had booked it all, as she always does. Like, she does it in books, something every day. And me and the boys just want to sort of just do nothing. I know it sounds bad, but we just want to sort of just chill or hang out, or they were more than happy just going on the sledges outside the little lodge that we were at.
Yeah,
there's a little hill of all the snow that they've cleared, and they just weren't happy to get on the sledge and just go down that, go back up, go down that, go back up. Literally, we must have done it about 80 times in one day.
Because we're basic, though, isn't it? As soon as we see snow, we just go bargle for the basicness of it, right? We don't need to do anything more.
And you can just go on, and at one point, you can get on it. Because Finland's fairly flat. It's not like there's loads of hills everywhere or in the mountains and all that. And you can just sort of slide along for about 40, 50 meters. That's pretty, and on a gentle slide. That's a long one. It's like, because it's about four or five of these villas and it goes past all of them. It's like the driveway. So I stood at the bottom of it and the boys were just walking up, down, walking up. That's all they wanted to do. But the missus had booked this excursion. We're going to go on this hike. So we're in the van with these four other people. It's only a small group thing, about eight of us. And one of the women there was her name was Tabitha. Lovely lady, in case she's listening.
What a name, Tabitha.
She really, Tabitha. And she was there with her 15-year-old son, because her other daughter or kid and husband are not into being active. They didn't want to go. So they didn't go. Ooh, and I looked around at my wife and I thought, there is no way on earth I'd be allowed to just go off and go. Yeah. Right, and so me and this one of our kids are going to go do this.
Yeah,
me and Milo are going to go do this because you ain't into that. Yeah. That just, I don't
know. You don't.
I think that's a way forward.
A lot of Gore do that. Where they just take their one son or daughter and they go, I promised them a trip to Euro Disney, and so me and my one daughter are going to go. I'm like,
going to go bonding.
Yeah. Mm.
What about the other kid?
I don't think Asians do that. We bond together.
Or everyone just falls out together. Everyone equally hates it.
Exactly. Yeah. And by the time I left India, you fed up of everyone.
And it was funny because her son, whose name is Morris, but he called himself Mo, 15 years old. And Mo was sarky, very sarky, 15-year-old. And yeah. So she goes, oh, dinner. And I'm talking to Tabitha because she sat next to me in the van on the transfer.
Boris is she?
Tabitha, the mum. The mum was.
The mum?
Oh, yeah, and she's a scientist, by the way. And so she goes, oh, da-da-da-da. And I went, oh, you know, I said, how come you're here? And all that. She explained so to her, and she explained how much she was into it. And she was one who said, you've got to go to the zoo, which we did in the end because on her recommendation. She goes, yeah, you'll see things. She goes, you won't see anywhere else in the world. Wow. And she was articulate, and she was bright, and she was engaging. She was a bit like Michaela Strachan.
Oh,
right?
I had a crush on Michaela Strachan.
Everyone did.
Did you see any Gujarati lions in the zoo?
Oh, I'll tell you what I saw. I saw a polar bear, which is pretty cool to see, oh, right?
Yeah,
see that. Cool. Yeah, exactly. And I saw a wolverine. I did not know, early things I learned, that a wolverine is an actual animal. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Ooh, did not know that.
And it looks nothing like Wolverine in the film. So they've done Wolverines an injustice. It's like a furry little small bear type thing on all four.
Anyway. Has it got tusks?
No.
What kind of animal is it?
It's like a bear type thing. I don't know.
What's a bear?
It's black. It's furry. It walks on all fours. It's about the size of a dog, like a biggish dog. But it doesn't look like anything else. It just looks a bit bushy, and I couldn't see exactly its face from the distance we're at. But they're in there, wolverines. Anyway, so but Tabitha was a scientist, and she drops in the fact that she's got a PhD, and her son very, very sarcastically just went, didn't take you long to mention the PhD, did it? She dropped in.
15, you know.
15, yeah. But
brilliant.
He was funny. He was actually a really nice kid. But then she starts talking about the Northern Lights. Coming back to your point, Ked, you would have enjoyed that.
Yeah.
She was talking about what the Northern Lights actually are. And she was at solar particles and da da da. And I went, oh, but I said, you actually know quite a lot about it. She was, oh, don't get me started. And I remember her saying this. I don't know what it means, so don't ask me. She was, oh, don't get me started on CAPEX indexes. And I was like, CAPEX index? I'm like, you know, when you look at someone, you go, you're so clever.
Yeah. But that I think that was just to show how clever I am.
Yeah, but no, she wasn't, though. You know when someone's really enthusiastic and engaging, yeah. and I'm going to say it, it's a Gora quality. No Desi, even with all the knowledge in the world, wasn't like her. She was like a teacher. She was warm. She was likable.
I know what you mean.
Asking loads of questions about
this guy was like that as well. This guy was like that as well. And an interesting thing as well, he was saying that how he's got four daughters, right? And he's in a house full of just five women, his girlfriend and four daughters, right? And then he goes, and then because he's obviously planned this, and he goes, and here's a photo of them, and he puts it out. Two of them are white, one's got a headscarf on, Muslim, and the other one is black. And he goes, come on then, here we go, start asking me the questions.
No way.
Yeah. So, and he knew exactly.
He's adopted a couple of daughters.
I was like, you know, good for you, mate. You know, I said, that's brilliant. I said, they all look great. And he goes, and then he said, we've made two and we've adopted two. And then he started. And you know what? His dil was so big.
Yeah.
Like, and then you realize, you know, and all he was doing in Mumbai.
Actually, said dil, not dough.
Yeah. You know what he did in Mumbai? He just came to spend time in the slums. And he adopted somebody else while he was out there, and he's paying for them. And
thought, so he's taken another kid home.
Yeah, he was the male version of Angelina Jolie.
Can I? We should have said this at the start of the podcast. Sachin is very tired today.
Yes,
and it is so obvious because obviously I can see you online, and I can just see Sachin's face, like rolling his eyes at everything Ked is saying. Ked is talking about, and don't forget, Sach, you're from the same ends as Ked. You are Gujarati. So this is a fellow Gujarati brother coming back from Ahmedabad and Mumbai.
What do you want me to do? Stand there and give him a hug, a medal or something?
A hug.
Sorry. And that is your South London attitude. Can I just say, I've just been filming in Crawley and Croydon for Desi Beat, the Colours TV show. New series coming out this weekend, folks. There you go, if you want to watch it. And actually, you know what? I'm really enjoying it more than ever, actually, at the moment, just cooking with people. But the producer, who is from India, lovely little lady, right? Must be early 30s. She goes, Tommy, I was scared coming out of Croydon Station. I said, you should be. She goes, is it a bad area? I went, it's got a reputation. I didn't want to scare her off of it. But I went, you know, it's got a reputation. She goes, but something about it scared me. I went, yeah, that's it. Something about it scares me too. Tell me, South London. And I thought, Satch, when she said it, I just wanted to go, please tell my mate this. Please tell my mate how.
Nothing scary about South London.
Knows nothing about the area. No history, no nothing. She's just come out of the station and went, oh, I don't know. It just gives me the chills. I'm like, yeah, well done.
To be fair, that is probably one of the worst parts of South London. Like you did get thrown in at the deep end in Croydon.
Yeah, but by the way, I didn't realise how lovely Crawley is. Crawley's lovely.
Is it?
Yeah, Crawley, we're about half an hour, 40 minutes south.
Compared to Croydon, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. But
not sorry, sure about that.
Final quick thing about brown people in Finland and all that and people that we met. We were in Finland and, of course, we go to one night. We actually saw the Northern Lights, but then we got to another night where we'd already had it booked to see Northern Lights. So, well, let's just go anyway. You know, it's a barbecue outdoors in this middle of nowhere. And yeah, of course, there are 16 odd Indians on this trip.
Yeah.
They're all from
the south. Did you go on Taj tours?
Yeah, it was a sauna travel.
It might as well have been. Right. It was might as well have been. And it was
catering like in a tiffin or something.
No, it was just sausages on the fire. But by the way, I think he might be listening. The way they talk to the guys organizing it. So where are Northern Lights? And they're like, oh look, it's not always guaranteed you're going to see them.
Oh my god!
So what is the chances now? And then he went, and you could see it in the eyes of the guides, because it must be awkward when they're going out these Northern Lights pointing to us, and they already know when they're setting off that it's a cloudy night. It's probably not going to happen.
See nothing. Yeah.
But you've taken the money of people and you've got to make something of it. And they're trying to tell you little stories and fill the time. And you just sort of stood there waiting to see something in the sky. It's pretty dead event when it doesn't happen. Mm. And he goes, okay, I have spoken to the group. We would all like to go back now. So they all just wanted to go back early, you know, like, and it kind of kills the vibe a bit. But while they were there, of course, I'm surrounded by the 16 of them, all started playing Antakshari and singing Bollywood songs
and all that.
Right? And then he goes to me, do you like your Bollywood? And I went, yeah, you know, to some extent. And he goes, oh, we're from Kolkata. I went, oh, yeah, Kumar Sanu territory. And he went, oh, you know Kumar Sanu? I went, yeah. I said, you know, I host events at home. And he went, really?
He's kissed me.
Huh?
He's kissed me.
No, that's his mate.
Kiss me. He's with it.
Oh, yeah. I'll get confused. Sorry.
Yeah, they all look the same. What are you trying to say?
Same era.
So I said, I could tell he didn't sort of believe me. I didn't really want to get the phone out, so I didn't really show him anything or like that. Right. I was tempted to, and I thought, shall I not? But, you know, I don't know these people. We're on holiday. I'm not going to get into a conversation with someone all about that.
Yeah.
But he said, I said, what do you do? He goes, oh, we organise Bollywood concerts in Ireland. He goes, we're based over there. He goes, we do it in Dublin. And I know we're taking Bollywood Time Machine, the show that we're doing at the moment all across the country. We're taking it to Belfast. So I thought, oh, we could do with a contact in Dublin. It's good to have someone on the ground. I said, actually, we might be bringing a little tribute show there. I'll take your number. And he just messaged me today and he went, oh my God, I just Googled you. You're really famous. You know all the stars. I've just seen all your videos. So I'm like, oh, thank you very much. And trying to be all the humble one. But but I'm saying the one night we go out, we see, and by the way, they could all sing. They were doing Antakshari. The women had amazing voices. You know when they do the high pitch thing.
Yeah. Amazing. But forget all of that. Did you see the Northern Lights?
I didn't see it on that trip, but we happened to be at a restaurant, and while we were eating, the woman comes in from reception on the restaurant and goes, "Everybody, Northern Lights are outside," and it was unbelievable, unbelievable. It just
so you see did it. See it.
Yeah,
not with the Indians.
Yeah, we'd already seen it when we were on the tour, before the tour, right? We'd already kind of, because we just got lucky and saw it at that meal. So just to go on the tour, we just went on it because we were free that night anyway. And so we might as well do it and do it for the barbecue.
How long are they around for, the Northern Lights?
This one was about 20 minutes.
Oh. Lovely.
I don't know if you can.
I can see it, but do you know what?
But it's just surreal. It's like it's like a good nightclub. Good nightclub lights.
Yeah, it don't really appeal to me.
No, I knew it wouldn't. Particularly today. How is Dubai though? Is Dubai what did you do?
Dubai has been good. It's been we had our event on Saturday, sold out, lovely. A lot of good to see a lot of familiar faces that I get to see when I come out here for events and stuff. So yeah, it's been good. And it's been extra good because Jags came out with me this time, Jags Climax. Hey. And honestly, we've done a whole load of shit in the last 4 days that, like, it's just been nice. It's been good.
Yeah. What do you mean you've done a whole load, like what, like events or like eating?
Probably a bit of both. Going out, like, just to places that we've not been before. And do you know what? It's I think he kind of left, like, thinking I wanted to stay on longer because he knows I'm here for a little while still. So
yeah. What was that thing that you and him were eating?
Oh, the bun that I posted.
Yeah. What's it called?
It's called paparoti. It's hard to explain what it is, but it's roti, like,
yeah.
Yeah, paparoti. I'll send you.
Paparoti. Paparoti.
No, paparoti. That's what it's called. P-A-P-P-A.
Oh, like the singer.
Oh, like Pavarotti.
What? Yeah.
Is that what he's trying to play? Is that what it's playing on? Playing on the word Pavarotti?
No, it's not. I don't know where it's from or anything. But anyway, you need to try this because it will change your life. It's like a bun that you put a topping on, like Nutella or like pistachio or like caramel or whatever. And honestly, it just melts in your mouth. Lovely.
And have you had the famous Dubai chocolate that everyone goes crazy for?
Yeah, do you know what? That's annoying me a bit because everywhere you go, they're just trying to sell you a bar. And I'm just like, do you know what? I don't want it anymore.
They're selling it in Watford as well now, Dubai chocolate.
They're probably selling it in India as well.
All it is just pistachio. It's just pistachio inside chocolate. Which, I mean, it's not rocket science, or it's not new or anything. But
no, it's not that it's not new. It is quite new, but I think like the wave.
If you're telling me the trend is pistachio flavored chocolate before.
Yeah, I know, but it's this Kunafa thing that's not been in the chocolate. So yeah.
They should do the Kun Fire Kun tractor as the if I was selling that chocolate, that's what I'd use.
Is this a TikTok thing? Is this like an online thing?
I'll bring you back a bar, Tom.
It's everywhere. It's Instagram, TikTok, everyone.
I'll bring one back for you. You can try it.
Okay.
I'm surprised I haven't already.
All right. How much longer you got out there?
I'm still here for another 2 days, then I go off to India next week, and then I'm back in Dubai next week. Got a few more work bits, and then I'm back next weekend. So yeah, still a week.
Why don't you time it up so you could have been out there with Kedge?
On the Raz.
No, thanks.
You could have gone to Bastion. Pass.
Then it would have been Tommy's solo podcast. I've been there before.
Bandra.
I've been to India before, so I don't need to go again.
I've been to Bastion before.
Oh, okay.
Lovely.
So are we sort of back now? So we've addressed the fact that Ken's been away.
Well, thinking of it now, like, I'm just like, look, I'm away in India next week, so I might just take an unofficial week off.
Yeah.
Trust him to say yeah.
Yeah. Well,
if you know. You deserve it. Everyone's got like 6 weeks of leave that they can take on the Brownlow.
No one's got leave. This is not part of the contract. What do you mean? Where's leave? Where does it say leave?
See, already.
If you want to leave, you can leave forever.
And already today, I've got messages saying, "Where's the podcast? Where's the podcast?"
Yeah, exactly. Because same
here. Thursday, so it's going to be.
There was this one moment which obviously, because you guys get it, I never get it. But there was this moment when I got on the plane from London, and as I was walking to my seat, this woman said, "Oh, look, that's Cajal from the Brownlow," and I thought it was hilarious.
That's brilliant.
That was quite funny.
Oh, look, that's Cajal. He's the one who's not going to be on the podcast this week.
Yeah, but they didn't know that then. They didn't know that.
That's Cajal. He used to be in the Brownlow.
So basically all of that's happening. And while we've all been away, you know, there's been a lot of hangama going on in the world and, you know, a lot of political situations are arising around the world, but nothing more so than when, Trump decided to, on his own, social media platform, which is known as Truth, decided to post an AI video of something called Trump Gaza, which, you know, I sent to you guys cause I got it just as it was released. And I was like, it was shocking.
Why was it shocking?
Well, the thing is, it's like, you know, he's the president of the United States of America. He is the most powerful man. And to put a video out like this, which is basically, if you've not seen it, he's basically making Gaza into a bit of a holiday destination.
Tourism video.
Yeah, tourism video. Mm. And, you know, it's not really mindful of the situation there or anything like that. And it's got, you know, Elon Musk in the video. And you know, I think he's in there with a few of the other world leaders that, who are, you know, not very nice. And it's like casinos and party vibes and all of that. And, you know, it was interesting to see how this video was received.
Right. So you're right. People are disgusted by it. People are shocked by it. People are laughing at it. You know, ever since COVID, I'm gonna go back a little bit further. Since the whole BBC debacle, and you suddenly look around and you're looking around at what I would call people in positions of authority, BBC managers, politicians, famous people, and they're all up to silly bugger nonsense, right? They're up to just idiot moves, and they say 40s. Your 40s is the age where you look around and you go, oh. The world's just full of idiots. Because when you're growing up, you look up to those people in positions of power. You look up to, you know, because they're older. But then when you're the same age or even older than them, you suddenly go, are you lot knobs? Because I'm a knob, and that's why I'm a comedian, right? But you're knobs, and you're running.
I'm not a comedian, though.
Huh?
I'm not a comedian, though.
Yeah, you're a wannabe, right? So it's fine. You're trying, but it's okay. But you're a creative. I'll give you that, right? You're in that.
No, but you missed the joke there. But anyway,
sorry, because I'm not a comedian. Clearly, I'm a bad one, right? And then
doesn't matter.
Forget it.
You got all these people that were just doing dumb shit and running the country in a really dumb way, and then so when Trump tweeted that, they're like, oh my god, this is the president of the free world, the, you know, the man who represents the highest power on the country, and this is this kind of promotional video. I just think it's hilarious. I think brilliant. And actually, I was like, you know what, the best thing we can do is go with it, folks. The minute you start going, this ain't right, he shouldn't be, and I know it ain't right, because let's be honest, what's going on in Gaza and all that is horrible, actually.
It's not right.
Bloody horrible, right? It's the worst of the worst of the worst, right? People dying, kids dying, horrible. So the fact that he's done that, you're like, I'm not even going to waste real brain power on it. I'm going to just go, great. Look forward to going there. I look forward to the Trump Hotel, which is in that video, in Gaza. And casinos and a lad's stag do and all that. I think he should have just, I think Modi should do one and call it Daza Gaza. Daza Gaza, like his fresh take on Gaza. And everyone, all of the leaders should do their own version of it. Yeah. I'm like, why not? The world's bonkers.
I think it's that President Netanyahu, I think, is who you see on the beach with Trump.
It's just that the whole thing's just a bit strange, isn't it? Like, it, to the point where it's just like, I don't know, is it done to make attention or like what?
Honestly,
like, I don't get it.
If you don't mind me saying, and not you now, but you back in, if it was you back in the day, 15 years ago, you just discovered, I don't know, whatever it is, Adobe on your phone, and you edit together a Gaza promotional video. It looks as crap as that. It literally looks like it's Eurotrash. Remember the program Eurotrash?
Yeah, I mean, it's all AI created and generated and stuff like that.
Exactly.
It's
but the colors of it and all that, it's just weird. It's just like, so there's no point trying to take this world seriously.
But it's like, you know, for as easy as you're saying to just dismiss it and stuff, you know, I'm just bringing the balance to it. There's a lot of people who've been very upset by it, offended by it, and sickened by it.
Because it is. It will, because obviously what's going on there will affect certain people in the world,
of course,
lots of people in the world directly. They're losing loved ones, right? It's a different story. And here he's going to go, it's going to be the Riviera of the Middle East and all that. It's like, what are you talking about? But can I say this? There's something so insane about this man. I reckon it's going to come true. I reckon, weirdly, and I don't get why, behind a lot of the bakwas he says, there's actually something in it. It's a bit like you, Kedge. A bit like you.
No, but he delivers. Huh? That's the thing, he delivers.
Yeah, but it's like...
Keir Starmer's gone to meet him, isn't he, today?
Yeah.
Did you see that? That was actually quite awkward. I watched it on the news just
now. Oh, I haven't seen what happened.
So there was like obviously the shots of, you know, them two meeting like outside whatever building it was. I don't think it was the White House, but they were outside the building. Yeah. And you could just see Trump with like a really fake smile. You could see Starmer with like a really fake smile. It's just like, do you know what? It's like when you get put in a group for group work when you're at uni or something. You just got to work with a dickhead. That's what it looks like.
Wow.
It was just like,
when I was in India, Modi was in America, and they're all bowing down to this Trump. They were all there. And I thought what was really funny is that Modi is like there sitting there with Elon Musk talking about bringing Tesla to India. I'm like, you can't even get a rickshaw to go straight on this road because of the amount of potholes and everything. You want a flipping Tesla in India? We need to do way more in India than worry about getting electrical Teslas in there. I mean, it's brilliant that they've got electrical buses in Mumbai.
Do they still have power cuts over there in Gujarat?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
So how are you gonna power up your Tesla then when there's no power?
No, but this is what I mean. It's like I just don't understand the priority of like what they're trying to achieve in India. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's I don't know. It's just, it gets to you after a while, because, you know, like me being, you know, the proud Indian I am, and you just think,
yeah.
It took us 1.5 hours to check into our hotel in Mumbai. You know why?
Wow.
Why?
Because all the cards between all of us, none of them were being accepted. Then we discovered that the woman couldn't use the machine that she was using. American Express. Oh, we can't use American Express. Like, well, like, of course you can use American.
Of course you can.
You know,
well, okay, do you stay in Kedge?
Well, this is what I mean. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're thinking, oh my God, like, what is this? Like, yeah. 1.5 hours of just sitting in the lobby. Lovely. While they were trying. And then they wanted, and the other thing, you know, like everything has to be, everything is extra. So it's like, okay, I get it. They want to see your passport, yeah, when you go into a hotel. This was like, we want to see the OCI. We want to see the boarding pass. We were like, you know, you're like, oh my God, this is just.
We want to see your backside.
Yeah, no, but it is. It's just like everything has to have so many levels of like admin. And it's like, you know, like just Wi-Fi. Satch will know this. To get Wi-Fi in the Indian international airport,
Don't bother.
It's like getting a visa.
It's the process.
There you go. See, look, that Satch's face is how I was. And I refused to even do it.
No.
Because it was, you have to go to a machine, right?
What?
Listen, you have to go to a machine that looks like an ATM, but like one of those ATMs that are just, you know, like lying around, a portable one, right? Then you have to go in there. So I didn't even know. And so I'm like, what are these Wi-Fi machines for? And I was like, no, stuff that. So you can just probably just connect anyway. You don't need to go to a Wi-Fi machine. No. Of course you do, because you have to go there. Then you go to that machine and you have to type in your flight details.
Yeah.
Then you have to put your boarding pass on the scanner. Then the bit below, you have to put your passport in there, right? And it's got to scan. Obviously, does it work first time? Don't be silly. Because the scanning things in immigration in the UK don't work first time when you put your passport in there. So how is this thing in India going to work? So you put your button in, I'm pushing it and I'm pulling it and I'm trying to, oh, have I got the right bit and all of that? And then you finally get a ticket. You get the ticket that comes out of the machine. Then what do? Then you have to follow the process on this ticket. Click this Wi-Fi thing, go onto this thing, blah, 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 fill in this code. And you finally get your Wi-Fi.
Oh,
for how long? 1.5 hours. We had a 5-hour stopover. So what are we going
to
do?
Brilliant. You're going to have to keep getting tickets.
Also, you can't. Yeah. And the other thing is you have to get this code. But how do you get the code if you haven't got any Wi-Fi? I mean, it's just bargain.
Yeah.
You're in an international airport. What are they worried about? I mean, I get it. There's a terrorist situation and everything. You know, but if they want to blow up the airport, they're going to blow it up whether they get Wi-Fi or not.
And on that note, Ked, you just reminded me, international airport. Do you know now, when I come to Dubai, I don't even have to put my passport through the machine. It just knows my face. I was like, this is the future.
No way.
Yeah.
There we go.
This time, I didn't even take my passport out of my
bag. You know what? I love India, but it's just little things.
You go into like the booth gate thing, and it says, look at this light, and your name comes up. Job done.
You know how long it took to go? We got to the immigration bit in Bombay, right? And we got there. And we got through the line pretty quickly. We went to the man, and we were like, "Oh, we're flying through this." My God, it took
jinxed it
ever. Mm. And he goes, and you know, like, because they don't talk to you, they have this like power trip, but they just like sort of nod or they raise their eyebrow. And he's like, "I didn't know that I had to look at the camera." And he's like going like this, like just What's that supposed to be?
He's gesturing like, look up. Yeah, so he's just moving
what's
his neck.
What's that supposed to mean?
Like he wants you to move your neck, yeah.
Why can't you be friendly? And then you've got to do the four fingers, then you've got to do two thumbs, then you've got to do the four fingers on the right. All of this process, my God, took forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in there. All of that to look forward to for me from Saturday.
So. Yeah, look, honestly, Satch, I mean, I'm pretty calm, but it's just, you know, like you just think, I wish that our country was, you know, I'm sure they've been abroad. I'm sure they've been abroad and they realized, you know.
I don't think they have.
How can you not just have instant access Wi-Fi in an airport? What is that?
Yeah, you're right. But even, I'd say all airports, sorry, all airports at the moment, like, the Wi-Fi ain't easy and it's not strong. I suppose everybody's on it and all that as well. But these are the joys of travel. And actually, we're going to Switzerland next week. I'm going away for the weekend.
Yeah.
Hello.
And then another trip in for Easter. So I'm
bloody hell. You won the lottery, mate.
You're stacking up on my holidays. You know why? Things are so ridiculously busy. Right, Satch. I'm conscious that you are he's on babysitting duties, which. You don't ever associate with Satch.
That's why it's so moody today.
No, because he's got two nieces, and they
wake up at night. So I'm mindful of like at any point I need to jump out of here and go and grab them out of bed or something.
Now imagine. Do you mind me asking how old they are?
5 and 3.
Okay, perfect. I tell you why that's perfect. Because now you'll understand why a few years ago, we started off the podcast chatting anywhere we wanted in the house. Mm. And then kids were so loud. Because when the kids hit 5, 3 years old, whatever, they're not baby ages. So they're not sleeping through noise. Now when they hear a noise, they go, oh, that's a Satch.
It's happened already. I've had to put one of them back to bed. Like, it's happened already.
See, look, right? And then that's why I was like, kid, you know when kids just go, oh, look at that. We started off in your house, like in the lounge.
In all honesty, I nearly could have missed a podcast because I just put her back to sleep just as I started this.
Yeah. See? Right.
Wow.
And it's because you don't know how long that process is going to take.
No. And I had the message ready. I was like, boys, I'm gonna have to miss this one. You lot crack on.
Yeah. And you know what? One day, maybe you'll have kids and maybe you'll have, but this is exactly it. You know that
it's been. Do you know what? It's been nice. I took him to gymnastics the other day. That was a good experience.
Did you show off your moves?
Of course I did. No, I'm joking. It was just nice. It was just nice to hang with him.
Right. So things we've learned. Things we've learned. Things you've learned as an uncle. Things we've learned. I'll start because I've been cooking loads. By the way, today I thought of you boys because we made vada pavs today, and it was proper Maharashtra and Mumbai. Street food style. Yeah. She made a chutney, kej, coriander, chili, lemon juice, garlic chutney as a paste, and then the other red sprinkly chutney that they put on the other side.
Yeah.
And then aloo tikki was amazing with the curry leaves and everything. It was just honestly, and the batter, how she did her batter, you know, it was all good. But the other day, I made something at a Sri Lankan person's house, and I'll be honest, it freaked me out a bit because it was crab. Now, I don't really eat that much seafood at the best of times, but she pulls out a crab. The crab is...
No, what do you mean she pulled out a crab?
She pulled out her crab. Out of a hat?
No, like, you know, out of the fridge, like the crabs.
Right, yeah.
Right? And her crabs were blue because I think they were that cold.
You need to go to the doctor for that.
Yeah, I think so. If you've got blue crabs. Yeah. Doctor, I've got blue crabs. That should be a joke. Put out blue crabs. But then... I was like, oh, right. I said, you know, I said, I'm Punjabi, really. I said, we don't really cook with crab. And then I'm thinking, oh,
what's that got to do with anything?
In there, yeah. I was just about
what's
to
that? I'm Punjabi, we don't cook crab. That's
no, meaning I'm not familiar. I'm not familiar with how it cracks open or.
Yeah, but whether you're Gujarati, Punjabi, or Sri Lankan, that doesn't, do you mean? Like,
yeah.
No, but Sri Lankans have a lot more crab because they've got more seafood. They get more access to it. We do Amritsari fish. And I'm saying, like, the typical Punjabi cuisine isn't. Crab.
Okay.
Why? That's weird. That's the truth.
It is a bit weird.
But is it?
Yeah,
I don't get what's weird. I'm saying there are things that typically us and things.
But all of a sudden, you made out like you're like some sort of like proper strict Punjabi who's exactly. Just come from the bin, didn't he?
I would say I weren't familiar with it. Like, and she. No, my whole point is about what I learned about crabs. And she.
Yeah. Going, can we get to?
Yeah, we cook loads of
next you're going to say, oh, you know, I'm not familiar with driving a car, I only drive tractors.
That's, you're so twisting that. All I'm saying is,
but that's what it sounded like. That's what it sounds like. Like Tommy, who goes around the world, eats everything that's moving, swinging out of the, you know, the jungle, trees, and river. And then, I'm Punjabi. I don't know how to do it. Never, don't know how to
yeah, it was a bit of a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah, really? Statement. Okay. Yeah, fuzzies. From you. No. If I said it, fine. I don't eat meat, but from you.
No, but I'm saying, am I this?
He's eating like a donkey's testicles, and then he's all of a sudden going, oh.
What are you talking about? Not at all. I'm saying my desi cuisine palate is of a Punjabi skewed nature. Obviously, I have a bit of other food now because of you boys and have all your little fried snacks and your this, that, and the other. By the way, at one of these people's houses, I had probably the best, what you would call Jevro style mix.
Right.
They showed me the packet. I ordered it. I ain't gonna lie, I didn't realize when I ordered it and I put it in the basket, the delivery, because it's coming from India and the cost, and I had already clicked like go.
Oh, you could have asked me to bring it for you, you Wally.
£21. £21.
Right? You got bumped. Send me the picture. I'll get you some.
Okay, I will, because it just came up today.
Back to the blue crabs.
We still haven't gotten to the fact.
So the thing that I learned is that there are two types, because I went, oh right, blue crab. I went, and then there's an orange crab, and then what's it? She goes, well, actually, there's only two types of crab, and their names are true crab and false crab. That's it. There's two types of crab. That's the thing I learned this week, and the way they differ is there's true crabs, which are the one I was saying, with, you know, which are like the blue crabs that you get, spider crabs, ghost crabs. They're all the true crabs, and they're known because there's about 7,000 species. They've got short abdomens and 8 legs.
Yeah.
Whereas false crabs have fewer legs, and they include the hermit crabs, king crabs, and other ones like that. So, and they've got a different shape. They've got a longer abdomen. So there you go. Two types of crab in the world, true crab and false crab.
And which crab did you eat?
I ate the true one. I had the blue one. I had the blue one.
The true
there
blue.
You go. So I kept it real with my blue crab. Lovely. And I'll tell you, my chevro thing is called Elaka, that's what it was. Elakia hot mix. Hot mixture. That's good.
What are you just on about?
The thing that I've ordered, that mix I told you I've ordered.
Elakia, what is that?
Okay, so the thing I learned this week was, and it's funny that, Ked, you mentioned Elon Musk a bit earlier, because it's a bit tech related. It's about the internet, and I was quite shocked when I learned this. Humans only make up 38.5% of traffic on the internet. So the other 61% is just non-humans.
What, bots?
Bots hacking things, AI.
Wow.
That's mental, isn't it?
Bearing in mind, we're all pretty much bearing in mind that a lot of the human population is plugged in to the internet.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, more or less everybody, kind of.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's only 30%.
What does that really mean? So, hold on a minute, you're saying that the usage of the internet?
Yeah, internet traffic, usage.
Internet traffic is all, it's only 38% humans. 38%. I love that. That's
38%.
And the rest is just generated then.
The rest is just, by computers, basically.
Yeah, because a lot of the accounts now on Instagram, X, and all of that, it's all robotic and fake and all of that kind of stuff, isn't it?
And do you know who came out with that stat, by the way? This you'd like this, Kedge. Anand Mahindra.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one who did the car company. He's the one who did Mahindra, the research. Mahindra. Yeah.
Wow, I wonder why he wanted to know that.
Don't know. It's pretty cool, though, isn't it?
I tell you what it is. Those AI guys, those kind of intelligent computer type people, they get excited by the fact that we're not in control. We're not in charge. Mm. Computers are everywhere. Accept it. So they just like pushing that one. Kedge, what's your thing you learned?
So mine is about Apple phones, and I love this one. And that is that, have you ever noticed that Apple phones are rarely used by villains or baddies in films, because apparently this is because Apple has strict guidelines regarding its product placement. So what they're trying to state and what they've stated is that their product should only be shown in the positive light, meaning that they don't want their devices associated with baddies, darkus, negative characters or negative actions, which effectively creates this no villain clause for their products to be used in movies and commercials. Wow. I love that. Wow. That's why darkus, the baddies, all rolling with the Samsung.
So why have you got an iPhone? You're the villain of the podcast
Angel,
at the moment.
Angel.
The real thing is, why would you feel the need to have that clause in place? Unless, of course, you're the dark horse. Let's be honest. You know, agreed. it's like thou doth protest too much. It's like you're trying too hard to not be.
I think that's a good clause to have.
No,
So your product's never used to, like, you know, start any terrorist activity or anything. It's always used for the happy and all the good sets and all the good people in the world.
Yeah, well, I like that. I like those little things about just like behind the scenes of, you know, business.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when they show like how things are made and all that. I love all that. And
I thought that was fascinating. I thought you'd find it fascinating.
Yeah. I remember my mate who worked as an in-house lawyer for New Look. It's not quite the same thing, but he said they had to recall a load of belts because it said 100% leather, right? Ooh. But it was 100% leather. But it was coated in a protective plastic, so it's not. But basically, but they were saying no. But the belt is leather, but we're just protecting it more. But it's not 100% leather, then, is it? Mm. So, you know, it's like, things like that. You're like, yeah, you can't do that. You know,
no
information stuff. So there you go. This has got to look a certain way. Good.
Lovely.
Well, listen, I think it's been lovely to have you back. I think I miss us all hanging out together. So when Sachi's back from India, that'd be a week after next. We'll be together.
Love it.
Then I'll be away. So it's good. for as long as we can. But we'll catch you next week then, boys. Have a safe journey back. Satch, enjoy India. And we'll catch you in a bit.
Yeah, later.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.